Okay, so we're on Daf Tei tonight. Daf Tei. I assume you got to the second line. Is that where you got the two dots? Okay, so I'll pick up on the second line on Chaf Hei Beis. It says, "Save de Nizunya." The elders of Nizunya lo atu
Huh?
pirkei de Rav Chisda.
Right on time.
They didn't come to the shiur of Rav Chisda. So he says, "Amalei the Rav Hamnuna." So Rav Chisda said to Rav Hamnuna, "Zil tzaninu." Steal San Ihu, Rashi learns, tell them that they're a Nidui. Look at Rashi, the second line in Rashi, and Chaf Hem Beis, Amnal, Zil San Ihu, and Morlihem, he's Sager, Lesheba Bayit. Tell them they're like under quarantine, they should be by themselves. Zil Shon Nidui, the Tamil Chacham, Hidam Lamor Lo Derek Kavod, Asker Vesheba Bayit Techa. In other words, when you're telling a Tamil Chacham that he's a Nidui, you do it like Kavadikwa. You say, you have to be, by yourself for a bit. So Rav Chisda says to Rav Hamnuna, put this whole chavra in Nidui. It's interesting they didn't come to shir this Nidui. So Azal Amar Luhu. So Rav Hamnuna goes and he speaks to them. He says, "My tamalat Rabban on the pirka. How come you didn't come to the shir with Rav Chisda?" So Amrulei Amai Neiti. Well, why should we come? Milta. We ask him a question below Pashalan. He didn't give us the answer to the question. So the way that the Masifta took it was like that they were alleging that he doesn't know. In other words, he doesn't know the answer. So the Amar Lahu, so Rav Hamnuna said to them, "Mi ba'itu mi na'i mi di below Pashit Lahu. Did you ever ask me and I was not able to answer you?" So the way the Masifta had it, they quoted from the Magen Giburim, the first shot is that Rav Hamnuna is a Talmud of Rav Chisda. So he says, like, I know the answer, so certainly the Rebbe knows the answer. In other words, if the Talmud knows it, certainly the Rebbe knows it. So ask me the question. That's one mahalach. Then the other mahalach is that, and this is the quote of the Masifta from the Ben Yishai, and that first mahalach was so Rabbi Leibowitz said it was a recording from years ago, but the second mahalach was a quote from the Ben Yishai. Ben Yishai said, that not that he didn't give the answer. No, all he said was Asur Mutar, but he doesn't give us the reason for it. We want the reason. And Rav Hamnuna was the Meturgeman for Rav Chisda, the Meturgeman. So he says, I'll like get you the answer, or whatever. So he says, so on line six in the Gemara, so Baumine, so they ask Rav Hamnuna, Eved Shasirsa Rabba, and this is the connection with our sugya, you have an Eved that the master either right castrates him, his rubber debates him, testicles, mahu, mum shibagalui dami. Does that count as a mum shibagalui, like an open and notorious mum, in which case the eved goes free, mum shibagalui, has mum shibagalui, although, or not? Now, I got to, spell things out a little bit with this. So look at Rashi, the fourth word line, mum shibagalui dami, treitzulian bekis. In other words, the batesim are in the scrotum. He says, vini karmi b'chutz. In other words, like he could do things to castrate the person, and it would be visible from the outside. But in other words, but it's in the scrotum. He says, "Olo, hold to mitocha kiss." Or do we be saying that no, since it's tamar kiss, it doesn't count as mumim shbegalui? In other words, it is right. It's covered, right? So does that count as a mumim shbegalui? In other words, if I am aware of the injury. Or but it's covered over by the scrotum. So that was it. So lo hava biyadeh. So he, Rav Hamnuna, was not able to answer their question. So Amrulay, Lamrulo, they said to him, Mashmach, what's your name? So Amar Lahu Hamnuna. He said, Hamnuna. Amrulay, Lav Hamnuna, Ela Karnuna. So look at Rashi, the second narrow line in Rashi, Karnuna. Yoshev Kranot Atav Lo Baal Torah. Yoshev Kranot is a person who sits around it's like Mevatel, and it was you're not a Baal Torah. But if you look at Tosfos, the top Tosfos, Hamnuna Karnuna, it sounds like a riddle, Hamnuna Karnuna. Anyway, he says, Piresh Bekuntras Yoshev Kranot Atav Lo Baal Torah. Rabbeinu Chananel Piresh Atomer Hamnuna Hainu Chamnuna, Dag Cham. In other words, you present yourself Hamnuna, like the hey and the chet are interchangeable. So nuna means a fish. So you say you're Hamnuna, like really you're with it. You know all the Torah and stuff like that. That like a hot fish. Well, hot fish can mean either it means cooked fish or it means like a fish, like a warm fish, but it's fish that's ready to be eaten. He says, "V'ein kein, it's not the case. Ela kar nuna. your dog shoe
Oh.
car. You're a goldfish, right? In other words, you're not sharp enough for this answer. That seems very tough to the give and take seems a little. I tell you, some things that are strange here. One is that he's putting him in Nidui just so they don't come to the shir. That seems kind of severe. I don't know whatever he's doing. Anyway, then the other part was, it's interesting that Rav Hamnuna, he doesn't put them in Nidui. He says, why didn't you come? He investigates first. So Gemara says, Atla kami to Rav Chisda. So Rav Hamnuna goes back to Rav Chisda. So Amar, and he tells him what the question was. So Amar Le, so Rav Chisda says to him, Manita Baumina. They were asking you, the question they're asking, the answer is in a Braisa. We're going to do the Braisa. So first we're going to learn the Mishnah, and then we'll do the Braisa, and we'll see what's doing. Ditnan, because we learn in the Mishnah, this is the Mishnah Masechet Nagayim, Esrim v'arba rashei varim sheba adam. There are 24 tips of limbs in a person. Kulam ein metamin mishum michya. So michya is a type of tzarat, So we'll see Rashi in a minute. Rashi says that it has to be the whole enei marei ha-kohen. In other words, the kohen has to be able to see the whole nega with one view, but when it's on the tip, he can't see like the edge on one side, the edge on the other side. So it's not eligible to be a michya. All right, let's look at the Rashi on that. He says on the sixth narrow line of Rashi, imitami shemichya, shemichabim negayim. So Rashi says it's the name of one of the negayim. Kidechtiv umichya basar chai basay. Uchtiba l'chol marei enei ha-kohen. It has to be to the complete vision of the kohen, meaning shtei kulanirei ka'achat. Like with one look, like one photograph, like in the eye, he sees the whole nega. Prat l'michya shemakom ha-mishupa v'yored l'chol tzad. If it's a place where like the surface is not even and it descends on different angles, shenei v'chol rosh ha-nega v'raglav ka'achat. You can't see like the tip of it, and you can't see the edge of it in one vision. So it's that doesn't. So back in the Gemara, where it did none. The six lines above where it gets why it did none. Esrim v'arba rashei varim sheba adam. So this is where we're getting the din for the Eved Kanani, but it's taken from the Gaon. The 24 rashei varim sheba adam, 24 tips of limbs. Kulanei metam mishum michya. None of them are susceptible for tumas michya. So if the michya is on any one of the tips of these organs, you're not tame. The Elohim, these are the 24. Rashei espod yadayim raglayim, like the tips of fingers and toes. So that's 20 right there. So 20 of the fingers. Rashei oznayim, the edge of the ears. So that's up to 22, right? 22, 2 years, right? 22. Rosh hachotem, you have the tip of the nose, 23. Rosh hagavia, the tip of the male member, is 24. Then the Tana of the Mishnah says, Rashei dadim shebeisha, he says, with a woman, like the nipples, like in other words, that would also, but so for a woman, would Rosh would be out, but the two would be in, so it would come up to be 25. Rabbi Huda Omer, af shebeish. The Tana Rabbi Huda says, in a man as well, like on the nipple, would not be. So if you look at Rashi around the 10th narrow line, for Rashei dadim shebeisha, aval shebeish, einan boltin kolkach, vein says shipua. In other words, the first opinion holds it doesn't protrude significantly enough, to block them from man, and then the second one holds it is. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Now, two lines above where it gets wide, the Tanya law, and here the lights start going off the Braisa. We learn the Braisa concerning the Mishnah, the Kulam, Eved Yotzei Behem L'Cheirut. And with all of those Rosh Eivarim, if the master cuts off any of those Rosh Eivarim, so the Eved goes free. Eved goes free. Rebbe Omer af hasirus. Rebbe says, if the master castrates the Eved, so then he goes free. So this is going to be machloket. So according to Tanna Kamma not, but according to Rebbe, yes. So that's the answer to our friends, the Save the Nizunia. He says, they said, if the question was, Eved Yisrael Rabo Mahu, does he go free or not? Is it Mum Shabagalui? So according to Rebbe, it is, and according to Tanna Kamma not. Then the Braisa continues, the first white line. Then Azai Omer Af HaLashon. And Azai says the tongue. In other words, the tongue also, if the master cuts off the tongue or the tip of the tongue. Okay, now we're not done yet. Now, so it doesn't identify. Tanakhama says you have the Bekulam Eved Yotzei Behem L'Cheirut. Right. But Shane Bain also, we'll talk in a minute. Now, he says, Amar Mar, now this is Rav Chisda speaking. Rav Chisda is talking to Rav Hamnuna. So Amar Mar, he says that the Tana taught in the Braisa, Rebbe Amira for Siris. Siris Demai says when he talks about castrating, what does he mean? Elim Basiris to Gid, if he means like the male member, Hainu Gevia, that's the same as Gevia that we know, and that was counted already. Alav Siris debates him. So is it not talking about the Siris with debates him? You're doing something to the testicles. Rebbe Omer, okay, so Siris debates him. Yeah. Okay. Now, all right, so they're right. So that is the answer. Okay, well, one second, let's just see a little bit in Rashi and we'll talk. So, okay, let's go back to Rashi around the 10th hour line. L'cheiru, d'kulam katsulo rabo, mumshu b'galuihu beinu chozer. In other words, all of them, if the master cuts it off, the abbot goes free. Rebbe Mirafa Sirus, Mosifal Elul, Linyan, now Mosifal Elul, Rebbe's adding in addition to the 24, Rebbe says Sirus is like another, or whatever he had before, Rebbe says Sirus is an additional one. Linyan Evid, V'shein V'ayin, lo itzrich le the Rebbe Lumanot, V'tosefta. So Rebbe doesn't have to mention Shein V'ayin. He says, D'vahi, a D'vahed, that's written explicitly in Torah. Zil Kari Biravu, that's something like any like yeshiva student knows that. But Tana Kamalu Palibah, Tana comes up with Hulak on Shein Ba'ayin. Okay, and then Afal Lashon in Rashi should dark color oak shumidaber is visible when a person speaks. Mum Shabigaluihu. All right. So let me see, is this okay? Okay. So it comes out then, let's just summarize what we did. We'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, and then we'll go on. So we started off with the Sabe din Zunya that in comes the Shir of Chista. They felt that they weren't getting an answer to their question, or they were getting an answer, but they weren't getting the Svara. So the question was, if the master does Sirus, he castrates the Abbot, does the Abbot go free or not? On the one hand, it could be visible, like you see something, it doesn't look quite right. But on the other hand, it's everything is contained in the scrotum. So is it mum shabagalu or not? So it comes out. So Rav Hamnuna goes to Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says back to Rav Hamnuna, it's this brisa, and the brisa records machlokin Rebbe and the Tana Kama whether the Sirus gets you out of Abdus. So according to the Tana Kama, presumably it's not a mum shabagalu, and according to Rebbe, it is, and that's the answer to the question. Okay, these are questions, comments, thoughts, and anything we did so far. Everybody good? Okay, let's go further. Okay, so I'm on the second wide line on Chapeh Medalev. A lot of serious debates. Okay, now Rebbe Omer, last word in line. Rebbe Omer, Afasirus. So we're quoting from the Brisa before. Rebbe says Sirus in addition to all the other Rashi Yevarim. Rebbe Lashon Lo. So in the Brisa, Rebbe says Sirus. And Ben Azai says Afalasho. So we think it sounds like the machlok between Ben Azai and Rebbe, that Rebbe doesn't hold from the Lashon that if you cut off the tongue, that the Eved would go free. Uraminu, on this, in other words, that meaning that the tongue is not viewed as a mum shebegalui. Uraminu, so we pose a contradiction from the following brisa. Harei Misha Amazeh, this is a different halacha. If a person is sprinkling the Efer Parah in the water with the Efer Parah, the Mechatah, on a person who's tameh, the nitzah hazal piv, and the it gets sprinkled on his mouth. He have to sprinkle on the body, but he's sprinkling on the mouth. Rebbe Omer hizah. Rebbe says that counts as a hazah, even though we'll talk about where in the mouth we think on the tongue. So Rebbe says that counts as a hazah. The person is going to be tahor with that hazah. I mean, we can do more things, but the chachamim omrim lo hizah. The chachamim say no, it does not count as a hazah. Okay, that's the Brisa. So my love, Alashono, is it not that the Brisa is talking about that he sprinkled on the person's tongue? So here Rebbe said that it was a mum shebegalui with the Eved, and yet in the Brisa, Rebbe says, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. In the Brisa, the Rebbe said about the Sirus, but Ben Azai said Afalashon, and we saw the Rebbe disagreed with Ben Azai. So Rebbe holds it's not the galui by the tongue. And here in this brisa with the hazah, before it is begalut. That's what we think is going on. That's what we think. He says, So if you look in the Rashi, Rabbi Yomir, he said the apogav da hazah al galui by the coming. The Gemara is going to, it's going to come out. You need the hazah has to be on a revealed part of the body. In order to be hazah, it has to be sprinkled on a revealed part of the body. So in the earlier Brayso, we think Rabbi holds that the tongue is hidden, and here he holds it's revealed. So the Gemara says on the fourth white line, lo al shfatav. No, we misunderstood this Brayso. The Brayso is talking about that he sprinkled on the person's lips. And there Rebbe held that it was good. So the Gemara says, Asfatah, pshitim. That's obvious. If I sprinkle on lips, how can you be more exposed to lips? Ma would the tema, zimna de chalim spate. I might have thought sometimes the person like purses the lips, and if he closes his lips tightly, and so it isn't revealed, so kama shvalan, that it does count that way. Now, there's different Rashis throughout Shas, where in addition to explaining the Gemara, he explains the word. I thought it was interesting this word dechalim. If you look at the Rashi, 10 lines above where it gets wide, dechalim, soger piv b'chazka. He closes his mouth tightly. Ashfatamin bakot ma'od. His lips are, very, tight together. Lo nishavinu tigalui. We shouldn't think it's galui. Ho pamim him tmunu like they chilmo kamashmalan. Then chalim, davarshu madbik yafeh. Chalim is something that things come together very well. This is what he writes. Solder belaz, like so, like in French, solder, like solder, like when you join something. Either minun gabi tefirot or but warvarotiv shani or the chalim. The Gemara says the skin is different. The chalim, whereas when you cut the skin, it's the chalim. It comes together. So that's like an important. If you can remember this Rashi, Rashi's with different words, but it gives you an insight to the word chalim. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara, and I'll pause in a few lines. We're not done with tongue yet. Okay, now, so tongue, we're okay. With tongue, we didn't touch the tongue yet. Well, as far as we know, with tongue, as far as we know, Rebbe disagrees with tongue, and Benazai holds the tongue is a davar shiligalui, as far as we know. And this Bryce was talking about the lips. So the Gemara says on the fifth white line, Bahatanya alishono. But there's a different Bryce that says that he did huzzah on the tongue, and there, Rebbe holds that it is a good hazdah. And here, Lechore, he disagrees with Benazai. So then now we have it. Rebbe does hold that the tongue is something which is the galui, and yet Lechore in the earlier brisa sound like that. But O Tanya, in addition to which we learn another brisa, which in Ital Rov HaLashon. So this is talking about Lechore, the animal, the firstborn animals that offer as a korban, but the mum you can't offer as a korban. So what would be a mum in the animal before one of them can you tell Rov HaLashon, if most of the tongue has been cut off. Rebbe Omer, Rov HaMedaber Shel B'Shono. So Rebbe says it means most, now the animal obviously does not speak, but it means like when a human speaks, it means like the part that's like not attached. In other words, the part that's like loose. Rov HaMedaber Shel B'Shono. So most of that is cut off. So then indeed that would be a mum. That would be a mum. So the yeah so hold right so the Gemara is, so anyway so the point being Rebbe clearly views the tongue as a davar shebegalui and cutting the tongue is a mum cutting the tongue is a mum so lechora he should hold Rebbe should hold that if the master cuts off the tongue the abbot goes free that's what he should hold and yet in the earlier brisa so he didn't hold that way. Ella, so the Gemara revises his understanding of the earlier Braisa. Ella, Rebbe Omer Sirus below Mibayelashon. Rebbe says that the Eved goes free with Sirus, with castration, below Mibayelashon. It goes without saying he goes free if the tongue is cut. So not the way we thought initially. So again, the Braisa is the last narrow line, the first wide line. Rebbe Omer Apa Sirus, there's Omer Apa Lashon. So we thought Rebbe holds Sirus to not Lashon. The Gemara says, no, Rebbe holds Sirus and Lashon. And it's more Pasha Lashon. Now, Ben Azai Omar Lashon about Sirus Lo. So Ben Azai says that the tongue does it, but Sirus not. So Ben Azai disagrees with Sirus. In other words, Rebbe holds from Ben Azai's Shita, Ben Azai doesn't hold from Rebbe. So when Ben Azai says Af Halashon, even the tongue, he says Akamaita. In other words, originally we quoted in the Mishnah in the second game about 24 Rosh Hashanah. Then the Brice, the last line said, "B'kulam in all of those, the Eved goes free. Then Rebbe says, Sirus also, and Rebbe holds also Lashon. And then Ben Azamir Afalashon means Afalashon goes on the first line. In other words, B'kulam and also for the Lashon, but on Sirus. That's what we think. So the Gemara says around the 10th line, so if that's the way that the Pshat and the Brisa is, one would have thought the Tan of the Brisa should have formulated like this. Also the Lashon. The Rebbe comes off of Sirus. Rebbe holds everything, and even the Sirus. He says, so what? The fact that the Tana didn't do it that way makes us wonder whether we said the correct Pshat. So the Gemara says, excuse me, Tana Shema'al the Rebbe Ukva'a. The Tana, he heard Rebbe's statement and he taught it in his Brisa. In other words, the Brisa is being formulated. He's creating the Brisa. So he heard Rebbe's statement and he formulated that in the Brisa. Ushma'al ben Azai the Tani. Then subsequently, he heard Ben Azai's opinion and he taught that as well. But the original formulation had already been taught. In other words, everybody's memorizing these things. So we're not going to flip it around. In other words, the original way he formulated it is the first B'kulam Eved Yosef Rebbe. Then later on, he heard Ben Azai, so he added on Ben Azai. The Mishnah of Zazam the Koma means the formulation of the Mishnah. It means the Brice, the Mishnah is like the oral teaching the Torah. Wasn't deviated. In other words, isn't changed afterwards. Let's look at Rashi on this, the second wide line in Rashi. Elul Garcinan, the Haki Garcinan, Tana Shmuel Rebbe the Ukva Hulei Kivva Eitzel Rishono. He taught that with the original statements. Vahadar Shmuel Ben Azai. And then he heard Ben Azai Shemosif Lashon Levado all the Rishono. V'nimsa Chalukah Rebbe B'Sirus Ukva Lashon Av. He attached it with Av Kamosha Amara Ben Azai. In other words, he puts the word Av because that's the way Ben Azai said it. When Ben Azai said Av, he meant it in addition to the original ones. It would have been clearer if you put Ben Azai's statement between the Tanakhama and Rebbe, and then teach about Sirus. Since Rebbe's opinion had already been taught and already, been formulated with the Tanakhama, by Talmidim Kach, and now will the Talmidim know this by heart, and that's the way they're learning it. He's not going to change the position of Rebbe with Sidro Shel Ben Azai Acharav, and then he was Mesader Ben Azai afterwards. The Pisha Girsa Hashigura Befeh, that which has already been learned, like orally, Kashelishano Tavlos wrote the Gorsa of the Shono Fair. It's very hard to like ask people to reformulate. So once we're formulating, we're formulating. It's okay. It's okay. Now, okay, so any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Yeah. Yeah. That's the way it sounds like. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Okay. All right. Let's see better. All right. Now, okay, so the 10th wide line on Chaf Pamed Aleph. Amar Ula. Hakol modin b'lashon l'nin tuma d'galui to eitz l'asheretz. Now, let's go slowly with this. Now, with the tongue, so we moved away from Sirus, and now we're moving over to the tongue. Now, with the tongue, we said, so Ben Azai says af halashon, so we said Rebbe also agrees with that, with lashon. So the tongue is a revealed organ. That's what we're saying. The tongue is a revealed organ. So who's going to explain? But there's a machloket about the tongue, because the Tanakhama didn't hold by the tongue. So he says, so Ula says, everybody agrees with the tongue can be a receptor for tumah. In other words, it means if a person, even though it sounds kind of like repulsive, if he touched dead sheretz with his tongue, everybody agrees he's tamei. Everybody agrees he's tamei. He says, "My taima, asher yabo rachmana, my nami bar nagiyahu." So let's look at. So I'll say this outside, and we'll do it inside in 1 second. So, and we'll do it the way Rashi learns it. There's an idea of Beit HaStarim. Beit HaStarim is an area that's normally covered over, but sometimes is revealed. That's Beit HaStarim. So Rabbi Leib was just saying, like, you have the armpits and behind the knees and stuff like that, but the tongue is also Beit HaStarim. The tongue is normally covered by the mouth, but then open it, you open up, and then you see the tongue. That's Beit HaStarim. So it comes out, let's see the rationale on this. On around the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the sixth wide line, linian tuma, the kaimelon marka beta starim, inu mitame. We hold that if you contact beta starim, it doesn't cause tuma. But after lam masechet nida, be b'chol asher yigabo azav. So this pasuk, it says b'chol asher yigabo azav, yadav l'shatach hamayim. Whatever the dove touches, and he didn't wash his hands. So I translate the pasuk. So it'll be tame. It'll be tame. The zav is tame. He's an abatuma. So before she got a zav, whatever the zav touches, he didn't wash his hands. It's tame. It says hashataf tahor. So it sounds like you mean if he washes his hands, so the thing would be tahor. He says hatavila boy. The zav needs more than washing hands. He needs tefillah in the mikveh. He says ela kol she got a zav, the barshu galui ki adav. In other words, whatever the zav touches, it has to be that he touches it with something which is begalui, like the hands he touches it with. In other words, it means if the Zav touches something, a part of his body which is begalui, like the hands, then he'll transmit tumor. So let's see back on the Gemara. So he says, Amar Ula, kol modim b'lashon linyan tumah d'galui hu. So everybody hold that the tongue is a dabar galui. My taima shi gabo amarachmana b'hainami bar. So everybody holds the tongue. So in other words, the tongue. I was talking about beta starim before, but the tongue he's saying is begalui. In other words, not beta starim. The tongue is like the hands; it's revealed, so it can be a conduit for tumor. In tevila, conversely, it's like setting the. He's going to set the rules on the road. And we'll see where we're going to go with this. He says, "Inin tevila kitam dami." Now, when it comes to being tovel, it's like something hidden. In other words, like sometimes you have something which is balua. In other words, if you know, let's say I swallowed a ring, right? And I go to the mikveh, so the ring is not a chatzitza; it's in my gut, right? So it's not a chatzitza, right? But it's davar balua. So he says, but everybody holds. So in other words, from one din. The tongue is begalui. One din the tongue is revealed. In other words, it can be a conduit for tumor. But conversely, if I'm tovel in the mikvah, I don't have to open my mouth and let the water come into my mouth. He says, "Ketamadami, my tamo rachatz b'srobamayim." He says, the Torah says you rachatz means to wash, but it means like you'll immerse in the mikvah. Ma b'sromi yivroi, just like his basar is openly exposed. Avkomi yivroi. So. Again, with the tongue, we have two different dinim. So one din, the conduit for tumah, the tongue is. But for tefillah mikvah, the tongue is, we view it like more, like hidden, right, internal. Lo nechlaku el inyan hazah. But the machloket is, what about by hazah? In other words, if a person does the hazah on the person's tongue, does that count as davar shebegalui or not? Rebbe min dami la tumah. So Rebbe, he compares it to tumah, just like the tongue could be a conduit for tumah, the tongue could be considered for hazaz, davar shebegalui. Rabbanan and the Chachamim compare it to tevila. By tevila, like so the water does not have to go on; it's a davar tamun, so it doesn't count. He says v'tarvayhu v'hai krak miflagi. Both are mechulak on the following pasuk. This is in part of the Chukat. This is v'hizat tahor la tamei v'gomer. The tower person will sprinkle the tummy person. Rebbe Savar, Bizat Bayomashvi, he'll sprinkle on the tummy person on day 3 and day 7 of the cycle, Bechito, and he'll purify him. So he's saying that the Hazaa. One second. Yeah. Al HaTameh Bechito. Right. So. Izator al hatame, Rebbe takes it that anything that could transmit tumah, then he's going to sprinkle on it, so that'll work. Bizatuhor al hatameh. The way the Rebbe understands tameh is that which could be the conduit for tumah. Let's look at Rashi. Rebbe Darish, 5 lines to the bottom. Rebbe Darish lets me bechito chitui amakom tumah habe chitui. Chitui means sprinkling. So by sprinkle on the makom tameh, where it could be the conduit for tumah, so it has tara. Rabbanan Sabri, back in the Gemara, the chitto by Yom HaShvi'i, chitto like to purify, but it means like to sprinkle. But chitto by Yom HaShvi'i, the chibes b'gadav rakas b'mayim. So the Chachamim focus on the same pasuk, but they go forward in the pasuk. In other words, Rebbe stops at the chitto. The Chachamim look, the chitto by Yom HaShvi'i, the chibes b'gadav rakas b'mayim. In other words, the Chachamim say the chitto is like rakas b'mayim. In other words, Rebbe is saying that the chitto, the purification, the sprinkling, is tied with anything that could be the conduit for tumah, and that would be the tongue. And the Chachamim hold the chitto has to be like that which rakas b'mayim, that which has to be immersed in the mikveh. He says, Rabbanan nami nidami l'tumah. So why don't the Chachamim agree with Rebbe's limud? Tara mi tara habalei l'meila. So the Chachamim say, look, it's pashut. We're going to darsh now. Right, like the Tabra process with the requirement to immerse in the mikveh, like you're saying, right? Rebbe nedami l'tefila. So why isn't Rebbe like that? The chibes b'gadav hifsika inin. If you look at the pasuk, it says, but it says the chitto b'yom shvi'i, he'll sprinkle them on day 7. The chibes b'gadav, he'll immerse, wash the clothes. It means he'll immerse the clothes in the mikveh. So Rebbe holds that that's a hefsik. So let me do a few more lines and then I'll pause. The Saba Rebbe lini tefila ketaman dami. I mean, everybody agrees with this. Everybody agrees when you're tovel in the mikveh, you don't have to open your mouth. And everybody agrees that if you stick out your tongue, you touch the dead sheretz, your tummy. The only question is, by hazah, which way do I compare the hazah to? So the Gemara says, V'saba Rebbe l'tfilah k'taman dami, Rebbe holds the tongue is davar taman hitten, v'amar rabin amar rabada, amar rabi yitzta, ma'asib shivcha shal beit Rebbe. There was an incident with the shivcha, I assume the shivcha k'nani, the beit Rebbe, Shetavla, she was tovelet ba'alta and emerged from the mikveh. Benimtza etzem bein shinan, and they found a bone between her teeth. Mitzricha Rebbe tefilah acher, and Rebbe says she's got to do immerse herself in the mikveh again. Means that the bone was a chatita. The bone was a chatita. So he says. So the Gemara says, "Nehi debi mayim lo bein." No, Rebbe doesn't require you to open the mouth when you go into the mikveh. That you don't need to do. But makomar uilo bo mayim, but you know, but it has to be. If Lu Yetzur, the water would go in, it has to be that the water could go and touch all the places, even though the water isn't. With Rebbe Zeira, like Rebbe Zeira teaches us, the Am Rebbe Zeira, Kularu Labila, and Bila Makevito. So this is that in right. So in the Gemara Menachot, it says they have a mincha of 60 estronim, is 60 tenths of an ephah of flour mixed with oil. So in the Kalim, in the base of Mikdash, if they would put the oil together with the 60 Estronium, they could do an even mixture of the oil with the flour. If they put more than 60 Estronium, then they can't evenly do it. So Rebbe Zeira says, so if they put the flour and the oil in, even though they don't mix the flour with the oil, so the mixture is not ma'akev, the korban mincha. The Shein Rui Labila, but if they put too much flour in, so that even if they would attempt the mixture, it would not work, Milamakevichol, then the fact that it's not mixed up, it was Ma'akev in it. So the same thing here, I'm going to say this outside, this means like when a woman, actually a man too, where it's that Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur coming up, when a person goes to be told in the mikveh, in addition to cleaning nails, things like that, so you have to, brush the teeth and clean out between the teeth, in order for the tefillin mikveh to be effective. In other words, you don't want to have a chatzitza, even though it's in the mouth. Okay, okay. So let me just do the Rashi, then we'll do a few more lines, we'll pause. He says, 3 lines to the bottom. Rebbe Zeira da'amar b'nachot, in vi mincha shel shishim b'chad yisaron b'kli achad. You can't bring a mincha with 61 esronim in one kli. The kimlu rabban chain of lalun yafa b'shavim b'yachad. The chamin established that it doesn't have an even mixture of flour and the oil. So we're also saying that that Mishnah, and we said, well, they're not mixed up, so what difference does it make? But on Tanan, we learned the Mishnah in Lo Balal Kasher. We learned that even if he does put it in, he doesn't mix it up, it's kasher. So the Amar Rabbi Zeira, Allah, Rabbi Zeira said concerning that halacha, if it's ra'ui that they could mix it, then it's not ma'akev. He says, but if it's not ra'ui, even if they would want to mix it, it's too much there, they can't mix it up. Okay, let me do a few more lines and then we'll take a big pause and we'll talk things out. Okay, so let's just think through what we did. So we spoke about, we had the Save Dinizunya. And there he had the question where the Sirus, springs the Eved from jail. And that was Machloket Tanaim between Rebbe and the Tana Kama of the Brisa. So that was one Machloket. Then we segued into a discussion about the Lashon and the tongue, whether that's a Davar Shebegalui. So according to Ben Azai and according to Rebbe, Lashon is a Davar Shebegalui, would get the Eved out of jail. But then we spoke about with the Lashon, then we hooked into this din with sprinkling. It came out to be machloket between Rebbe and the Chachamim. If a person sprinkles the water with the apar para on the person's tongue, it only hits the tongue, does that count as hazar or not? So Rebbe holds it does, and Chachamim holds does not. And it came out, it's talui on, in other words, everybody agrees that the tongue could be a conduit for tumah. If a person says his tongue touches the dead sheretz, he's tameh. Everybody agrees that when you immerse the mikveh, so you keep the mouth closed, and then that helps. But they had a machloket though with hazaa, and to know which halacha should we compare hazaa to? Should we compare hazaa to the being a receptor for tumor, or compare hazaa to tefillin mikveh? All right. So now let me just do a few more lines, and then we'll pause. Okay. So the top line on Chafayim and Beis, Kitanai. Now the Gemara goes back. So we already said the answer to the Save Nizunya. Is that the name? Nizunya. Nizunya. The Save Nizunya was Machloka Tanaim between Rebbe and the Tana Kama. But the Gemara says Kitanai. It's Machloka Tanaim. I have other Tanaim involved with this. So there's a Pasuk. This Pasuk is in, I think, Parshat Emor. Is in Ma'uch v'chatot v'natuk v'charot. It talks about the animals that you're not allowed to bring as a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. So this is talking about, injuries to the genital area. It's like crushed and squashed, like the testicles, and they can't offer that. It's like cut and severed and cut, and we'll see in a minute. So they said in the art scroll, one second, but one second, maybe has a little bit more. So this is in the end of footnote two. Ma'uch, squashed, implies by hand. Katut implies a greater degree of damage, like a blow from a rock or a blunt instrument. Natuk is torn by hand, I assume, cutting the vas deferens. I assume that the animals have the same thing. Natuk is torn by hand, where karut means cut by an instrument. Okay? So let's focus. Let's see back in the Gemara. So, Kitanai, Uma'uch b'katut v'natuk b'charut, Kulan debates him, Direi Rabbi Yehuda. So, Rabbi Yehuda says that all refers to injuries to the Beitzim. So the Gemara says, "Bebeitzim v'lo begid." You mean it's only beitzim, not begid? Ella kulan ach beitzim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So he means ach beitzim. In other words, in Achinami, if you're cutting off the gid itself, or you're crushing it, then there will also be a bone, but it wasn't beitzim. Reb Lezer ben Yaakov Amir kulan begid. Reb ben Yaakov says, "No, all those that women were only in the gid, not in the beitzim." Reb Yosiam is so that would be the machloket. And remember we said about the Beitzim, whether that counts as a mum. So here we're talking about a mum with a korban, but we carried over the edit. Yeah, okay, sounds good. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ma'uch b'chatot af beitzim. Rabbi Yossi splits it. Is Ma'uch b'chatot, which is the squashed and the crushed, that's even in the beitzim. And he says, Natuk b'charot, like the cut and the severed, begin in the beitzim low. So one second, one second. Yeah, so Rashi says the fourth white line, Ma'uch b'chatot af b'beitzim, d'min kartfei. It's clearer that the damage has been done. He says, but in other words, one is more apparent than the other one. So the Ma'uch b'chatot would be more apparent. So Rabbi Yossi splits it. So again, we have Machloket Tanaim. So Rabbi Yehuda holds it's any of these things, even the Beitzim itself, then that's a mom. And then we can extend it out to the Eved. That's the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. He says, and then Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov holds, no, it doesn't apply to the Beitzim, it only applies to the Gid. And Rabbi Yossi says, the that's more apparent, that's off the Beitzim. That took the Karut, that's only a moment in the Gid, not the Beitzim. In other words, if it's like severed or you know, cut or severed, only in the Gid, not the Beitzim. All right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Half the Beitzim means the Gid and the Beitzim, right? Okay, now let me just say a little few things here and then we'll move on. We're going to talk about the elephant in a bit. And all right, I'll read a little bit of this for 2 minutes, and then we got to move. Rabbi Menashe Klein, this is from the Daf Yomi Digest. Rabbi Menashe Klein, author of the Shuvos Mincha Mishnah Halakot, was asked to rule about a woman who 2 days after she went to the mikvah realized she forgot to remove her contact lenses for her immersion. So she went to the mikvah. You know, I remember there was, I remember that, I remember Rav Melech Shapir of Rav. I remember talking about a case. He said he got a call. He was a rabbi, like, you know, people have different shtellers. He had a shteller, like, in, like, I don't know, like somewhere, like some really from a orphan place. Some really from a orphan place. The wife had to travel, I think, a few hundred miles to go to the mikveh. And so the wife came back from the mikveh, and then she realized that there was a nail, and the nail she had cut, but hadn't fully, like, was still intact by a little bit. And he was calling him, you know, does she have to, like, it's not like going down the block to, you know, with this whole thing with the makeup or whatever. Anyway, so here he has the question. The woman went to the, so the way I remember, I think he said that she was okay under those circumstances with it, but I don't know what his, see,
Nothing behind it.
no, see the thing is like this. Only the katsis. If it should be cut, we view it as being cut. So now, only the katsu. So if I view it as katsus, but that means that there's this part of the surface that wasn't exposed to the water. In other words, it's as if the nail was cut, but the water was not able to expose to one tip of the thing with the nail. The only thing is that, again, he's not here to ask anymore, but
Fern, you should
the.
hear this. Fern, listen to this. Did you hear it? I have to get up for a second. Go ahead. No, listen, listen. Can you repeat that for Fern?
Please, just wait a minute, Ruth. Okay, now the only thing you could say if it's you know, if it's a mi'at she'eino makpid, in other words, if it's like a small point and the person's not makpid on it, so then that would be like lefora, like a kula with this. Okay, so let me sober this, and then we'll have the commentary. Okay, so Rabbi Menashe Klein, he the woman she had forgotten to take out her contact lenses in the tefillah. Did the presence of the contact lenses validate the immersion or not? Mishnah Halakha ruled the contact lenses are considered an interposition, like a seat for her body, since she's particular makpid to remove them every night when she goes to sleep. So she takes the contact lenses out every night. So in other words, that's totally the same thing with a nail. Is it davar makpid or not with this? If it's a mere makpid, then
Okay.
the, no, wait. Mi'at she'eino makpid. I didn't say it right. If it's a mi'at she'eino makpid, if it's a mi'at and you're not makpid, then it's not a problem. But if it's a mi'at makpid, then you have a problem. So he says you got a problem with this. So I didn't say it before with the nail. It has to be a mi'at she'eino makpid. But he says, he bases his ruling on Shubha Noda, you know, who ruled that a ring of wax placed in a woman's body that is removed when it becomes dirty is an intercutsitsa, particularly to remove it for cleaning. The note even notes based on Tosfos comments to our Gemara, the fundamental distinction between the inner parts of the organs, beta starim, and the inner cavity, balua. It was a requirement that the mikvah water should be able to reach the inner parts of organs. So in other words, if it's beta starim, the water has to be capable of getting there. That's the idea. Nevertheless, concludes the Mishnah Halakha, it is clear that the eye is categorized as an inner part of an organ. Thus, if the mikvah water cannot reach that area due to the presence of the contact lens, the immersion is invalid. So in other words, so he's saying the eye is like the beta starim, and Mimela, see, you have a problem. Rav Moshe Feinstein ruled that a woman is obligated to remove her contact lenses before she immerses, since she could easily remove it herself. But if she forgot to move her lenses before her immersion, she's not required to immerse again. The rationale for his position is that he maintains that for something to constitute a chatzitza on the inner parts of the organs, must be something that's attached to the place where it rests. Chatzitza midvar hamit davkim, something like it's attached. Something that is attached to an inner part of an organ will prevent the water from reaching that spot, but it merely sits in place. It is not attached, like a contact lens is not in position, even though the water will not touch that area. Okay, now, in other words, Ramosha is saying something like this: there's something attached or something that's just lying on. So if it's attached, it's a chatzitza. But if it's just lying on the place, then it's not a chatzitza. And so you, so that's the way he understood it. Okay, so all right, go ahead. Who wants to speak right now? Anybody in Zoom land?
Rabbi, I have a comment. Maybe contact lens, water can go around it below and above, so maybe it's not a
All right.
chatzitza.
Okay. Well, you're the specialist on that. Can it go above, around, and beyond?
It definitely does.
All right. All right. Well, that's good, like Ramosha. Okay. I got to move on. We don't have very little time. Anybody else want to say anything? Okay. Let's go back. Okay. Let's go to the board. All right. We're on line five. Okay. The Mishnah. Okay. Everybody focus. Now, we came in a new Mishnah. Yaakov, you have a Gemara? So we're on page 50, page line six. There you go. Perfect. Okay. So we're talking about the different kinyanim. We spoke about kinyan by the Eved Kenani. Now, let's just go over. When I want to buy metalsalim, I know this sounds strange, like to the uneducated person, but you can't buy metalsalim with money. It was like money doesn't buy everything, but it means money is not the kinyan. When I give over money, it's either this machlokes in Reish Lakish or Yochanan, so either it doesn't work on a Torah level, or it does work on a Torah level, but the Chacham said it doesn't work. Remember, who remembers what we said in the Gemara over there? Because we're afraid that the person, anybody remember what, why not?
Even there, then get damaged.
Right. So Yosef said, so the Gemara, we're afraid the person, like, they'll pay $10,000 for the wheat. Wheat's in the barn, and then the seller sees the barn burning down. He says, oh, so too bad, right? So it says, your wheat got burned on the aliyah. So money doesn't do the trick by metalflin. Now, there are other kinyanim, though, that do the trick. If hagba is, if I lift up the object, that works very nicely. But I can't lift up every object. Sometimes things are heavy, and something's not the derech to lift up the object. So there's other kinyanim, and specifically, there's meshicha. If I draw the object into my rishus, or I draw the object into like a semi-private area, or mesira, which we had earlier in the Gemara, I give over the reins of an animal. So let's see back in the Gemara. And there's a bimach lokin in this hadlar in the Mishnah. The thing, we'll just do it simple. Okay, so my Nathan. Behemagasa. So the Tana of the Mishnah says Behemagasa can be acquired by Masira. Masira is I give over the reins to him. So Rashi learns. So Behemagasa is a big animal. It could be like a bovine, like a cow, or it could be a horse or a mule. So obviously it's not susceptible to Hagbah, he says. And Rashi learns that Mashiach also not. The dark Mashiach is like I could hit the animal, it walks in front of me, I call the animal, it comes, is a behemagasa. So behemagasa is nicknamed by Mesira, but the way Rashi is learning, not Hagbah, and not Meshicha. The behemadaka is typically like sheep or goat. He says, the Hagbah, but behemadaka could be acquired with a king in Hagbah. I could lift up the animal, and Rashi says, and not with Meshicha. The Chachamim Behemadaka nicknamed the Meshicha. Come and say that a Behemadaka be acquired the Meshicha. Okay, now let's see the Gemara. Darsh Rav Mikimkunya. Rav Darsh and Mikimkunya is the name of a place. Now let's focus. So on the focusing on the Behemagasa, so the way Rashi learns Pshat in the Mishnah, everybody holds that there's no Kinyan Hagbah by the Behemagasa, and there's no Kinyan Meshicha by the Behemagasa. Only Mesira works, right? That everybody agrees with that. Everybody on the same page with Behemagasa, the big animal, like the horse. So in the Mishnah, the way Rashi, everybody agrees Hagbah does not work by the horse. All right. Everybody agrees that, oh, wait. We'll see. Everybody agrees that Meshicha does not work by the horse. Mesira was what works. Everybody okay? Okay, now, the Gemara says, Darash Rabbi Kimchunya, Behemagasa, nicknamed the Meshicha. So Rav, he's an Amora, he Darshan with Kimchunya, that a Behemagasa to be acquired. The Meshicha, when I pull it like towards me. So Shmuel Tamid Rav. So Shmuel encountered the Tamim of Rav. Amar Lahu, he said to them, Mi Amar Rav, Behemagasa, nicknamed the Meshicha. Did Rab really say the Behemah Gasa to be acquired the Mashiach? Ba'anan, the Mesirah Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah that the Behemah Gasa is acquired the Mesirah. The Rab Nami the Mesirah Amar. And Rab, I also heard Rab personally say previously that the Behemah Gasa is acquired the Mesirah. So how is it that I'm hearing that Mashiach? So Hadar Meimei. So did he retract his original statement? That's what Shmuel is asking. So the Gemara answers, Rav was following the following Tana when he said that it works for Mashiach. We're at 6 lines from the bottom on Bapayim and Beis, 25b. The Tanya, we learn the Braisa, the Chachamim Omrim, Zubzu, Niknei, the Mashiach. So the Chachamim say that whether it's a Behemah Gasa or a Behemah Daka, it could be acquired by Mashiach, not like our Mishnah. That a Behemah Gasa could also be acquired by Mashiach. The Behemah Omer, Zubzu, Bahagba. The Tana Reb Shimon is Rishon Bar Yochai. He holds the Behemah Gasa and the Behemah Daka can be acquired by Hagba. So it means, again, this is the, I think Meir was kind of touching on this. It means even, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, even if I could lift the animal, it's not a kinyan because I have to derech to lift the animal. But here it says they could be. Now, let's see how this goes. Makifla Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef has a strong question, usually based on Svara. Peel Rabbi Shimon. So the Tana Reb Shimon says that Zub Zub Agba. So he says Zub Zub Agba, it means Agba works, and it means, and Lahora, not Mashiach and not Mesira, Agba. So how am I going to acquire an elephant? It's interesting that they're so familiar with elephants, but an elephant. So Amar Le Abaye, the Chalipin. So Abaye said to Rav Yosef, and Abaye was his Talmud, to do a kin and chalipin. A kin and chalipin will also work with that, like a kin and sudar. Inami, the socher at Makoma. Or you could lease the place where the elephant is standing. So, lechora, the simple pshat is, it's a kin and chatzer. If I own a chatzer and something's in my chatzer, it's chatzer mishtamer, I have a kin on it. So I'll lease the place where the seller presumably has that place. I'll lease that place from the seller, and then I'll acquire it. Rabbi Zera Amar, Rabbi Zera has different etzah, maybe arba'a kelim, umanichan tachat raglav. Rabbi Zera says you bring four kelim, maybe let's say four pots, and you put it, you know, have them step into each one of the pots. So kelim shal, so the kelim is like your chatzir. So I like a little piece of my chatzir I have, and I'll acquire it. So shamat mina, so the Gemara says we could deduce from Rabbi Zera's answer, kelim shalokeh, rishut mocher, kana lokeh. That if the kelim belong to Okeah, but it's the Rishut of the Mocher, in other words, the whole yard belongs to the Mocher, and the elephant's there, but I have four pots, and I have the elephant step into them, so Mela, that works. So that's a little chiddush. It's a question of Gemara. Now, Gemara says, Harka Mayaskinan Besimtis. So Gemara says, not necessarily, you couldn't necessarily make that determination, because it could be talking about that they're located in a simta. Simta is like an alleyway off the Rishus Rabim, where the there we think it would work, the Kelim Shalokeach, even if it's not Rishus Lamocher, but in that way. Now, or the top line on Chafal Manala, Inami Bechavile Zimoro. So the Gemara has another Inami. How can I have a Hagbah by the pill, by the elephant? Let's look at Rashi. Inami Meshkakala Hagbah, Esel Pil Bechavile Zimoro, bundles of vines. Hagavoim and arsh shoshat fachim that are at least 3 tefachim off the ground. This is machloket. I think Rabbeinu Tam holds 1 tefach, but here I think Rabbi Lewis mentioned it. I think it was mentioned maybe anyway. So 3 tefachim, 1 umalichim alehem umaleiu alehem. He has the elephant step on them. Hagbash shoshat fachim hagbahi. Then after let me throw it labud. If it's 3 tefachim, it's not labud. So that would be another way in which this would work. Okay, now let me just do a little bit about an elephant. And then that will be it for today. Okay, go ahead. Wait. Behemah Daka nicknamed the Mashiach. Wait. Yeah, so the Chora, one second, this whole machlok is shown in what they hold, but 1 minute we have the in the Mishnah, right? And that's talking about Behemah. Yeah, so the Chachamim hold, according to Rashi, that if it's a Behemah Gasa, 1 second. Behema daka nechneva mashicha. Right. So behema gasa they hold just masira, but behema daka could be mashicha or masira. In other words, the chachamim hold that behema daka nechneva mashicha or masira. That's what Rashi learns. Or masira. That's what Rashi learns. Okay. All right. In other words, masira is superior to mashicha. So the Tanakhama holds dafka masira. And then the Chachamim say Meshicha and certainly Mesira. This is the way Rashi learns. Okay. All right, we have 2 minutes for this. We'll see how we do. Now, we said the elephant was too big. How do we do it? Okay, now, the Ramah writes that when a man divorces his wife, he should preferably fold the get, place the entire document in her hand, with no part of it protruding beyond her hand. Because Torah states with regard to a get, not tan biyada. Rabbi Kiva Eger writes that although when one acquires a tafelin by a king in Hagbah, the enemy protrude from the hand. The Ran, get and postulates, get must be acquired specifically by a king in Chatzair, the acquisition domain. According to the Ran, argues Rabbi Kiva Eger, is essential to the entire get being in the woman's hand. Because, in other words, how is she acquiring the get? Is this working with a king in Hagbah or a king in Chatzair? So if I assume it's a king in Chatzair, the whole item has to be in my Chatzair. So the whole get. Has to, so they fold up the get and they put it in her hand. Now, he says, Pisley Tshuva remarks that in his region, it was not common practice to fold the get and place the entire get in one's hand. He therefore concludes that folding the get is merely a chumrah, but is not essential to the validity of the get. The Ayelon HaShachar cites our Gemara as proof that one can acquire something by Chatzer, Yad, as long as both of the objects in the domain. Rebzera says one can acquire an elephant by having it stand on four vessels. Even though a portion of the elephant protrudes beyond the airspace of the vessels. Accordingly, even if kinyan hagbah is not a valid means of acquiring a get, a woman can acquire a get by a kinyan chatzer as long as most of the get is in her hand. So Yael HaShachar wants to say, the key is, do I need the whole item to be in the chatzer to do a kinyan chatzer? So Yael HaShachar wants to say that we see here with the elephant, he's stepping into four different kalim. So a lot of the elephant is protruding outside the kalim, and nevertheless, it's working. That's the mahalach that we're saying. Now, he quotes, I don't have time to put the rest of this thing here, but all right, I'm sorry, we got to go. Okay, let's wrap it up for a second. Let's see, hold on a second, let me get this. Oh, 1 minute. 1 second.